If you're up against overwhelming circumstances and impossible situations, then you're just in the right place to express faith and to see God do something great. Next on Daily in the Word, we're going to study with Paul Chappell, Journeys of Faith. Life is absolutely and undeniably a journey of faith. Every single human being on the planet lives by faith. It's the object of the faith that differs. Every day you express faith, you place your faith in people and circumstances and things all around you. Life is designed by God to be a journey of faith. And when you come up against difficult situations, God wants you to turn to Him, to obey Him, to submit and yield to what He's doing in your life. And it's in that journey that you discover you can trust Him. Welcome to Daily in the Word. I'm Kerry Schmidt, your host, and this program features the teaching and preaching of Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. Today we study Journeys of Faith, and you're going to be equipped and challenged in your walk with God. Before we join today's message, I want to invite you to visit us at dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org for a host of resources that will help you and encourage you in your spiritual growth. But now let's turn to Exodus chapter 2 and study the journey to the palace. Here's Paul Chappell.
And what matters, my friend, is that as you are giving out those boundaries, as you are establishing that discipline, that it is done with a heart of love, so that your children know at the end of the day you love them and you're doing what's best for them. And it's not wrong to be strict. It is something that God designed the parents to provide, that is, direction for their lives. I heard about a little girl named Carrie. She was an incessant talker. She talked all of the time. She talked to mom, dad, grandma, grandpa. She just had a lot to say. It was hard to get her to go to bed. Finally, one night, as grandma and grandpa were over visiting, they said to the grandpa, "Why don't you put Carrie to bed?" He took her to bed. He prayed with her. And he said goodnight. And she had another question, though. And another question. And something else to talk about. How many of you had kids like that? They could set world records on not going to sleep. Do you remember those days? And she kept talking and talking. Finally, Grandpa said, "Now, Carrie, you are going to have to be quiet and go to sleep. I got to let you know it's time to go to sleep. I got to go to the other room and see Grandmother." And right as he said that, Carrie looked up and said, "But Grandpa, my mouth is not empty yet." Now, folks, I'm telling you, sometimes you run across one whose mouth is not empty. They've got one more thing they want to do, one more thing they want to play, and they want to take those boundaries and stretch them and stretch them, and sometimes they're so cute, we want to help them stretch the boundary. But I'm simply saying children need to know that which is right from that which is wrong. Set a boundary. Give a warning. Thirdly, set an example. Set the example. You know what? People do what people see. People do what people see. Our children need to see in us. And that's why I'm so proud this morning of godly men and women in this room who are here in God's house. And you're saying to your children, you're saying, you know what? It's important to get to the house of God and open the Word of God. It's important to learn from God because we are not self-made men and women. And you see, the Bible says in 2 Timothy 1 and verse 5, "When I called to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and also in thy mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded that it is in thee also." Paul said, "Timothy, I see something in you. And I believe you got that from your mother and from your grandmother." Oh, thank God for a godly heritage, for a godly example in Timothy's life. And then fourthly, if we're going to protect our children, we need to be wise to that which is good and simple to that which is evil. Paul said in Romans 16, 19, "Yet I would have you wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil." You know, I find it's just the other way around anymore. Teenagers are wise to evil. They know the latest song by Snoop Dogg. They know the latest rapper. They know the latest wicked lyric. They know all the subtle innuendos of the homosexual movement. They know every filthy word and every filthy joke. And don't sit there staring at me like a calf staring at a new gate. You know what I'm talking about. These kids, many times, are very wise. They're very streetwise. But God says, "Hey, I want you to be wise to the good I want you to raise up children who are wise to that which is good. You know, they need to know that that this creation is good, and that God is good, and the Word of God is good, and that honoring mom is good, and that obeying dad is good. They need to know about the beauty of this world and how things are farmed and tilled. Plant a garden with your kids. Teach them God is good. Take some time to spend with them. Teach them that God is good. Oh, it's so important that we would protect our children from the wiles, the tricks of the devil. That we would guard the media, that we would do all we can to keep them wise to the good and simple to the evil. I heard about some boys that just really had been kind of mean towards the girls in their neighborhood. And they were at that age where they still really didn't like girls. And one day the mother gave them a little speech. She said, "Now, boys, you're going to have to learn how to be more polite. Stop saying things to the girls and being mean to the girls." The boys kind of nodded at their mom. They were playing marbles out in the front. After a little while, kind of a pretty young girl walked by. One boy's name was Jake. He looked at his friend J.D. He said, "You know, J.D.? He said, when I stop hating girls, she's going to be the first one I stop hating." Now, I don't know if that was grandma's teaching sinking in or he was just coming aware of some facts, but the fact of the matter is that every one of our kids need to learn how to be wise towards that which is good. How to behave. Number five, we need to teach the Word of God. We need to teach the Word of God. Deuteronomy 6:6, teach them diligently to your children. You know, sometimes parents, you get psyched out about that. You think, what do I got to do? Go to Bible college to be a parent? No, that wouldn't be a bad idea, but it's not necessary. Let me tell you something. Every one of you as parents can teach your kids the Word of God. You can teach them by doing this today, this afternoon. Son, what'd you learn in Sunday school today? How do you think that could help you? What verse was that from? Or tomorrow, reading a scripture to one of your children. Just reading a verse from Psalms. Just reading a verse from the life of Jesus. Just getting a hold of a little guide of some type of devotional and teach your children the way they should go. And then number six, if you're going to protect your children, let me challenge you with this. Practice forgiveness. Practice forgiveness. You want to ruin your children? Be a bitter, reactionary Christian. But if you want to protect your children, then learn how to forgive. Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Boy, if someone does you wrong in business or someone is not kind to you even as a Christian, your kids may become aware of it. But if they see you at home saying, "Let's just give this to the Lord," I'm sure there are some good things about those people. Oh, the grace that floods into that family. And the love that comes into that family. Rather than producing angry children, we produce children who know how to forgive. This was the heart of Jochebed. She wanted a child that was protected from the influences of the world, protected from the attacks of Satan. And if we will protect our children, we must be deliberate every single day raising them for the Lord Jesus Christ. But notice, secondly, the provision of the Lord. The provision of the Lord. I want you to see this in verse 5. Notice what God does for Jochebed. "And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, and her maidens walked along by the river's side. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child. And behold, the babe wept, and she had compassion on him, and said, 'This is one of the Hebrews' children.' And when then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, 'Shall I go and call thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee?' And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, 'Go.' And the maid went," and notice this phrase in verse 8, very important, "and called the child's mother." And called the child's mother. You know what that is? That's God's amazing grace. Please notice this. When we put faith in God, He's going to pour His grace out on us. And she, as a mother, trusted God. And God, as her heavenly Father, gave her grace and let her take care of her own son. Notice, first of all, He provided a place for Moses. By the grace of God, He brings Moses to the palace. He brings Jochebed to the palace. And now here's a mother taking care of her son. Probably for 5 or 6 years, she fed and cared for her son. Watch this. At the king's expense. That's the grace of God. So I don't see how this will work. Sometimes I'm sure Jochebed wondered, but she just said, "Lord, I trust you. I don't know what else to do, Lord. I'm just going to trust you with my son." And God saw the heart of a trusting mother. And God said, I can bless that. God said, I'm going to take care of you, Jochebed. I'm going to take care of Moses. And it's not going to be a burden to you. And by the grace of God, he provided for Jochebed. God wants us to provide for our family, even as Jochebed provided for her family. Notice, secondly, he provided not only a place for Moses, he provides principles for us. God has provided for each and every one of us as parents principles for raising up our children. On this Mother's Day, notice what the Bible says also to fathers, Ephesians 6:4, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. The word nurture implies the Christian disciplines, the teaching, the warning, the guidelines we spoke about just a moment ago. God says, I want you to nurture your children. I want you to do this in a home of order. And this is where mom's role is so pivotal. Notice what it says in 1 Timothy 5:14. It says, I will therefore that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. God says, mom's to guide the house. Dad, we're to set the direction. This is what the Bible says. Dads, we're to set the direction. We're not going to tolerate cursing in this home. We're not going to tolerate wickedness in this home. We're going to honor mom in this home. Dad's got to set the direction. Dads, that's your job. But moms, notice what it says. We're to guide the house, moms. Okay, dad set the direction. Johnny, dad said to bed at 9. Johnny, dad said, we're not going to watch that television show. And dad loves us, and dad set it up. And now we're going to guide the home. We're going to have nurture. We're going to have discipline in this family. That's the teamwork that is needed. But notice, secondly, the admonition. Now, in Ephesians 6:4, the word admonition means teaching. It means line upon line. Proverbs 1 and verse 8, my son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother, for they shall be an ornament of grace unto thine head, and chains about thy neck. Many of you have heard the name John Wesley, the founder of Methodism. I stood at the grave last summer of Susanna Wesley, who had 12 children. 12 children. Susanna not only had 12 children, but every one of those 12 children made their mark for God and for righteousness in their life. John and Charles in particular, John the great preacher of the 18th century in England, and Charles the great hymn writer, and together they helped to bring a great revival in their country that swept even into America. John Wesley wrote these words of his mother. He said, I learned more about God from my mother than from all the theologians in England. What a great statement. What a great tribute to the influence that a mother can have, bringing a child along as the home has been ordered. And God says, I want you to see the protection that a mother provides, but I want you to see also the provision that I can give. And God had provided a place for Jochebed and for Moses, and God took care of their every need as they honored him. But now I want you to see finally this morning, not only the protection of a godly mother, not only the provision of a gracious God, but notice finally the purpose of Moses, the purpose of an obedient son. Now what happens when mom and dad, what happens in this case when a mom, Jochebed, trusts God and God begins to give grace? Notice the purpose of Moses. And I want you to see some very important verses. And if you would please turn in your Bible to Hebrews chapter 11, verses 24, 25, and 26. Because this would be the prayer, I believe, of every parent here today. Parents with teenagers, parents with younger children, older children, I want you to see what happened in Moses' life. Hebrews 11, 24. It says, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Now stop right there. How many moms and dads would say, when my children are out on their own, away from church, away from me, not necessarily away from church, but not at church, not with you, your prayer is that they'll make right choices. This is what Moses did. He chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater than riches, than treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Now notice a few purposed hearts, a few of the purpose statements, if you will, in Moses' heart. First of all, he purposed to identify with God's people. He purposed to identify with God's people. He refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Moses grew up to be a man who identified with the people of God. And I thank God today for young men and young women. I thank God for moms and dads today. You have chosen to do something today. Not only have you chosen to come to church, not only have you chosen to open the Bible, but we have chosen today to identify with the people of God. Hebrews 10:25. And not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. But the Bible says, so much exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. I thank God for people who willingly identify with God's crowd. Now listen very carefully. You're going to be at work. You're going to have some old boys over here, and they're cussing. And they're telling their filthy jokes. And they're expecting you. And they're going to maybe say something. Yeah, hey, how about, you know, those Christians, you know, those folks, those Baptists over there. And there's a temptation that comes in a teenager with peer pressure and with a mom or a dad sometimes to say, you know what, I'm just going to act like, you know, I'm a part of this. I'm not necessarily going to stand up and say, but I'm going to tell you something. Moses would have said this, excuse me, I am one of those Christians. Moses wasn't so worried. Look up here, teenage boys. Moses wasn't so worried about being popular that he was willing to say, I will identify with the Lord and His crowd, and I'm not ashamed to say I'm a child of God. I don't have to identify with this crowd in order to make myself feel good. Look, the officers' club, they're going to say, coming over here for some drinks at the officers' club. You can be cool if you come over here. Tell a dirty joke, hear a dirty joke. Moses said, you know what matters more to me than anything? Honoring the Lord. I'm going to stand up for the Lord. I want you to get that. He chose to identify. Parents, we need to be concerned, and I think we are. If we have a child that all of a sudden just kind of trying to act like the world, and all of a sudden they're just more interested in what the world thinks, and they're pushing you away and pushing you away. Maybe one day they show up with their baggy britches and they start asking what's wrong with the tattoo, and they're starting to act distant. How many of you parents, if your child started acting that way, you'd have some concern in your heart? Oh yeah. Well, let me tell you something. When we act that way, God has concern in His heart. When we make wrong choices, it's a grievous thing to God. And Moses said, I choose to identify with God's people. Secondly, he said, I choose to separate from sin. I choose to separate from sin. Now notice this if you would. Hebrews 11:25. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God, notice this, than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Now Moses could have had a big position in Pharaoh's life. Moses could have had wealth and fame. But he said, look it, I'm choosing to please God before I choose to please the world. What I want more than anything is to please God. And I want you to see this, if you would, in Hebrews 11:25. Then to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Now look right here. You may have a boyfriend or girlfriend. Congratulations. But if they're going to cause you to talk in church, they're going to cause you to watch wicked movies, they're going to cause you to live a worldly lifestyle and maybe become immoral, hey, I got to tell you something. You'd be far better off choosing God than that boyfriend or girlfriend. That's the choice you're going to have to make. Will I please God or will I please this crowd? That's the choice we have to make. Look, there's only two choices on the shelf, serving God or serving self. And Moses made his choice. Moses said, I'm going to serve Almighty God. And I think that's a powerful word there in verse 25. Notice it again. Choosing rather to suffer affliction. I don't know about you. I don't like to choose affliction. My nature is not to want affliction. My nature is to want comfort. How many of you understand what I'm saying? You're not going to go out in the backyard this afternoon and go, I wish I had a metal folding chair to sit in. Oh no, you're going to say, I want a padded chair to sit in. But Moses chose affliction before he would compromise his faith. To identify with the people of God was his choice. To separate from sin was his choice. I heard about a little boy that was traveling to the airport with his mother. And she spent some time talking to him. And he was a young fella in his toddler years. They walked up to the counter. And the little boy walked up to the counter with his mother. She's holding his hand. And he looked at the agent. He said, I'm two. Now, he was saying he was two, but he had a mouthful of teeth and muscles. And he was quite a bit bigger than two, the lady thought. She looked at the little boy. She said, do you know what happens to little boys who lie? He said, yep. We get to fly for half price. Now, where did he learn that? He learned that from his parents. Learned that from his mother. You know, I'm just saying, Jochebed put something good in Moses. Because when the choice came, he said, hey, I'm not going to bow down to the crowd. I'm going to choose to suffer affliction if need be with the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to take my stand for him. He identified with God's people. He separated from sin. Notice thirdly, he said, I'm just going to wait on God's reward. Now don't miss this, please. Hebrews 11:26. Notice Hebrews 11:26. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. Watch this. For read it with me if you would. For he had respect unto the... You know what that means? Here's what Moses said. And it's a great day in your life when you get there. Moses said this. He said, I'm going to go ahead and take the tough path. I'm going to go ahead and identify with Christ. And I'm just going to let God take care of the reward. He said, God's going to reward me when God's ready to reward me. Oh, listen, what a great man Moses was. John 3, and verse 4 says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the truth. Moms and dads, it doesn't matter what our kids become. What matters is, do they walk in the truth? Are they walking in the truth? And if you want to walk in the truth, if you want your family to walk in the truth, let me close with this morning. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. Let me challenge you this morning. If you want to walk in the truth, make sure that you know Jesus Christ as Savior. Make sure that you know that your sins have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. Make sure that you've helped your children to understand who Jesus is and what He did for them, and that they are saved and on their way to heaven. There's no greater joy than to know that your sins are forgiven and that you have a home in heaven. And if you're here right now and you are not sure that you are saved, then my friend, choose Jesus Christ. You say, but what will the crowd think? Listen, when you stand before Jesus someday, it will not matter what the crowd thinks then. What matters is, do you know Christ is your Savior? Have you accepted Him as your Savior? And if you have, then moms, dads, let's do our best to protect. Let's do our best to provide. And let's know that God is going to give our children purpose. Oh, they won't be perfect. They'll hurt our hearts. There'll be some difficult days. But if we'll raise them up, God will bring them along, and we can entrust Him with them. Let us pray. Father, thank You for this time in Your house this morning. Thank You for mothers and their great influence and their wonderful ministries. I pray that You would help us today to see from the life of Jochebed, how You graciously provided and met her needs. I pray that You'd speak to hearts today and that You would help us to make right decisions.
You've been listening to Daily in the Word, featuring the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chapel, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church in Lancaster, California, studying currently a series entitled Journeys for the Faith. And friend, your faith journey begins when you come to Jesus Christ in faith, when you come to Him alone as your Savior and receive Him into your heart and life. And friend, if you've never made that decision, we hope you'll make that decision today to let go of religion, to let go of your own goodness, and to trust Christ alone. Invite Him into your heart and life, confess that you need a Savior, and place 100% of your faith in Him for salvation. He will answer that prayer. He will save you. And He will come into your life and begin to change you from the inside out. Before we close out this edition of Daily in the Word, I want to invite you to contact us if we can help you understand salvation more, or if we can provide you with any of the resources that we've mentioned on the program. You can call us toll-free at 1-800-201-7748. Once again, that's 1-800-201-7748. You can find out more about Pastor Chapel and the ministry of Daily in the Word when you visit dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. I do want to encourage you to be sure to pick up a copy of Dr. Chapel's newest book, The Burden Bearer. This book is about 150 pages of the most powerful encouragement that I personally have ever read in my Christian life. It's an allegory that powerfully applies biblical principles, and it will help you understand what a relationship with Jesus Christ does in bringing rest and encouragement to your heart. It's again entitled The Burden Bearer. You can find out more about it when you visit again, dailyintheword.org. And don't forget, Dr. Chappell invites you to join him and lots of Christian friends from all across the country on the Alaska Cruise, August 9th through the 16th of 2014. Once again, August 9th through the 16th, visit dailyintheword.org. Click on the Alaska Cruise link to find out more about this exciting adventure. Thanks for being a part of today's edition of Daily in the Word. And until next time, have a great day.